This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Yeah, Brasol, how are you, sir?
Fine, and how are you, my bro?
Good man, always good to see you. Always good to see
you. No, thank you. And hello to the listeners.
Hello to the listeners. Otherwise, how are things going? Is everything all right?
No, we are getting there. And yeah. Perhaps we should start by thanking Power FM.
Yeah.
That we have consistently every month since January.
Yes.
Been focusing on disabled people and all the challenges they are facing and how they triumph over them.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, we are starting a month that is dedicated to celebrating people living with disabilities.
Is it Disability Month?
It's Disability Month from 3 November to 3 December.
Okay, good. So here's a commitment I'm making, and I'm sure the producer would agree with it, that maybe during that period, we do this feature every week.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah,
maybe because the truth is that I receive so many inquiries from disabled people, some saying, I've got a very interesting story to share with my country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you give me that platform to share this story with everyone?
Are you in on it?
I'm in.
Yeah. So let's do it every week. I thought of you 2 weeks ago. I was, and we have to give props to the public broadcaster, the SABC. They, I don't know if it's an every weekend type of a thing. There's a program that I saw where they were profiling business people who are living with disability.
Wow.
Amazing stories. Amazing. Mental, I don't want to say mental strength, but just people who, you know, there's a chap from, I think it's Mafikeng in your province there, in the Northwest, who was born with a deformity in the hands. But he does tattoos.
Wow.
You know, and he speaks about how he managed to go through the challenges because people will look at him and say, but really, can you do tattoos? And he says, what I did was I showed them my own drawings first to say, in the first case, I drew these things. Then they looked, they went through the drawing and they were like, wow. And then he does that. And there were a couple of them who were talking about how they survive in the business, which I think, you know, it's something that we also from time to time need to bring out on this. Yes, there are challenges, but you know, when people with disabilities do amazing things, and there was this lady who's doing catering, who was helped by the aunt.
Yeah.
And she spoke about how she enjoyed catering, not catering, but in cooking for the family. And the aunt said, look, you can do it. And the aunt started funding her catering business. And now she runs it. It's a successful catering company, despite, you know, and I thought, you know, most of us make excuses. You know, I was watching it and I thought, you know, most of us make excuses. And there are people here who are disadvantaged and they're doing wonderful work.
In fact, not to steal thunder from our next week's presentation, but we will be featuring a guy who owns a brand called Let's.
Yeah.
He produces bags and it's a very big brand and he's doing very well. And he's saying he decided to start this business after he was amputated on his leg and he couldn't get any job.
Yeah.
He then decided that, let me do something, let me use my talent. Yeah. And today it's a well-known brand. So we will feature him next week.
Can I give you homework?
Sure. Anytime, bro.
Why don't you, through your organization, Brand Hill, put all of these people under one umbrella so that they begin to share their experiences, to share ideas, even those that are aspiring to become entrepreneurs. But when they look at themselves in the mirror, they think, this is not for me.
In fact,
I've never heard of such a gathering, if you ask me. You know?
We are looking at producing a coffee table book.
Yes.
Basically, we will be guided by all our podcasts.
Yes.
And we will be broadening up and creating some excellent stories.
Yes.
That we will be able to share with everyone, not only in the country.
Yes.
But even abroad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know why I'm saying this? And I know you're going to introduce us to one of the guests that you brought on the line today. But the one thing that I really would like people like yourselves who are activists to understand, Brasol, is that when these stories come out, the impression I get is that sometimes you think you are speaking amongst yourselves. You are encouraging people with disability to do things and to expose them to possibilities and to give them a leg up in terms of mental strength and so on. But you are also talking to some of us who are able-bodied, who are amazed at how much people with disability are able to do while we make excuses for ourselves. So to speak. So it's a story that transcends disability boundaries.
In fact, a cousin of mine said to me, all those Facebook posts that I did where I was even laughing at myself made them easier, made it very easier for them to be able to come visit me and to relate with me as a person who has just become disabled.
Yeah.
And when I was in hospital, one good friend of mine was too scared to come visit me. And he kept on calling my wife saying, is he okay mentally? Then Tsepo said, no, he's fine. And then one day, his wife decided to visit me.
Yeah.
And whilst in hospital, she called him to say, hey, Spiwe Ngwenya, I'm with Saul. Then he was forced to come visit me. Then I remembered, by the way, he was worried about my mind, I'm in
fitness.
A good state.
Yeah.
Then I decided as if I was mentally affected. Then I just went, and I was shivering. I said, I think I remember you.
Yeah.
And I looked at his face and he was just changing and I just laughed at him. I said, get out of here, man, I'm okay. And he said, no, please don't do that to me. And I said, yeah, I heard you're worried about, my mind, whether it was still intact or not.
Yeah, that's another hurdle, I think, that as a society, we are never taught as a society to deal with issues of disability.
It's true.
And historically, I think it was not an issue that was appreciated.
It's true.
Because people with disability were killed, even during the Nazi times, Hitler, when we were still in Limpopo, there's a good friend of mine, Ruben Maleta.
Yeah.
Every time he sees me, he would say, "When you wouldn't have survived during the olden days." He used to regale me with stories about some Hoshi who would have Mampuru, and then he would say, "Dhopana kamoka, alibulawe." Meaning, all of those that are shot, the midgets must be killed. I don't want to see any midgets here.
In fact,
we used to have a good laugh about it. But if you think about it, it's a very brutal part of the history, if indeed it was true.
Now I'm saying also during this week, we'll have a light-hearted moment.
Yeah.
By inviting one friend of mine, Dingis, those who are on Facebook, they know him. He's disabled, but he always jokes on Facebook. And he even calls himself Sohole Sese Sexy. And then I say to him, in fact, I'm the sexiest Sohole.
Of course. And he must know you used to drive a yellow car, a Slatha.
It's true.
I've not seen anyone driving in this, So I also like, there's a chap who works for the SABC. DJ, what's his name? Finzo. Short and sweet. He's a midget.
Okay.
I have no, you must check him out. He's one of the most wonderful, wonderful people. That the mindsets about he calls himself Sweet and Short. You must check him out as well. The amount of self belief and self confidence in that man is just amazing. It's just out of this world. You know, every time I see him posting something, he calls himself Shoti. He says, "Wana Shoti Wetsa." And he's also very, you know, and I love him to bits. By the way, we've got a guest there, Brasol. Who is the guest?
A few weeks ago, we featured Victorious David.
Yes.
Who was a victim of crime.
Yes, I remember him.
Wonderful. And now, tonight, we decided to go over the line to invite an ex-convict who was shot at by the police because he was involved in an armed robbery. And he got rehabilitated, and he's confined to a wheelchair now, but he is an ambassador of anti-crime campaigns. He goes around the schools, sending a message to the youngsters that don't take the route that I took because I ended up being on a wheelchair.
Wonderful.
So it's a very powerful message coming from him. His name is Colin Rakumako.
Yeah.
He's from Jericho and he's joining us on the line.
Colin, good evening.
Evening, Tabiso.
How are you?
No, I'm good. And Brasol, evening, Brasol.
Hey, Tadami, bro. How's it?
No, good. Right.
Yeah.
Let me correct Mr. Soul there. Do you hear me, Tabitha?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, I'm not yet going to schools, and it's the thing that I want to do in future, to speak to young people in schools, not to make the same mistake that made in future.
Okay, good stuff.
But you are communicating the same message through your Facebook page.
Yes.
Ah, perfect. You are on wheelchair, right?
Yes, I'm on wheelchair.
And I hope you can take a joke, because there's a lovely joke in KZN, Masol. People who sit on wheelchairs, Baba Bita Abo Slal.
Yeah.
But I was Slalo. Anyway, so tell us your story. Brasol just gave us a teaser there, but I want you to take your time and just give us a sense of, you know, what happened and how do you like to progress in the future?
Okay, Mr. Taviso. My journey started in March 2005, whereby we gathered as guys, and most of them were older than me, because I was still young, fearless, irresponsible. Then we talked and said, they said to me, there's a money somewhere whereby we have to rob it. Then we gathered, we also got guns, we went to the place. Then it was around 9 o'clock in the morning. Then we reached the place. When we were there, something went wrong. Before even we got the money, there was a shooting. Securities and us. Then I was the first person who got shot. I lie down. And then, fortunately, the police arrived early because I was shot by a security guy. Then it's where I was saved there, because without the police, those people would have finished me. Then I went to the hospital. After then, I went to... They transferred me to Tshwane Rehab, Tshwane. And I was also watched by the police there. There were police who were just like escorting me. They thought maybe I could run away in this condition, and it was worse, bruh. Because I couldn't even lift my arm. Yeah, I am a quadriplegic. Brasol can explain what is a quadriplegic and the paraplegic.
Mm.
Yeah, then the bullet affect my spinal. I was shot on the neck.
Mm.
The bullet got in from my right side to the left side.
Mm.
Yeah, but it went out. Then it was hard, brother, because when the doctor told me that you'll never walk with your feet again, you'll use a wheelchair for the rest of your life, brah, I cried. But I end up just accepting that I'm going to live on a wheelchair.
Mm.
Yeah, because today I'm living the consequences of the wrong things that I've made. And one thing that I would like to do, as I always write on my Facebook page, to talk to young people out there, not to make the same mistake that I've made, because they could end up in jail or on a wheelchair.
Mm.
Even me, I never thought that I could end up on a wheelchair. What I thought is that when we're going to rob, it's either you got shot and died, or maybe you got arrested.
Mm.
So this wheelchair thing came as a surprise to me. But
yeah. So how long were you in hospital for?
It was 3 months.
Mm.
3 months. It was 3 months.
Anyway, so, Colin, yes. I'm also a graduate of the Tshwane Rehabilitation Hospital. I was there for 10 months.
Oh.
Yeah, at one stage, I was the patient who was there the longest. And I used to say to all the new arrivals, to say, many of you found me here and they left me here. And I took this line from Mbongeni Ngema's Sarafina, you know, the bell ringer who was always failing in that high school. And he used to ring the bell and say, all of you found me here and you will leave me here. Yeah. And but ultimately, when people heard that I was there for longer, they always felt consoled because I wasn't bitter, I was always positive, I wasn't stressing, and I was saying to them that I know that my time will come when I will be discharged from the Tshwane rehab. And perhaps maybe you can share with us how does the community perceive you as an ex-convict, besides you being on a wheelchair? Are you reintegrated fully back into the community, or there are people who are still having some hang-ups that says they need to keep a distance from you?
No. I just go everywhere, but there are some people who are happy because when I grew up, I was a naughty guy. I want to be honest with you. I was a naughty guy doing bad things. I regret what I did. Some of them are just happy because I'm on a wheelchair, but they don't understand exactly what put me through this situation, that whereby I took a wrong path in life doing bad things, you understand me? Yeah, so where I stay, currently I'm in Centurion. No one knows about me mostly here. But where I came from at home, sometimes I just feel ashamed that these people will say, yes, he got what he deserved because he was naughty, he was doing bad things. So I think, but I don't take it personal because everyone has his or her own agenda, because I know they will always judge us. from our past.
You have also spoken in one of your Facebook posts about peer pressure that drove you into becoming a thug because you wanted money so that you could lead a fancy life and you impress everyone around you.
Yes, things like that happens, Brasso, because you know, sometimes an environment, the surrounding you are living at, can make an impact in these things. Because from Northwest, where I was born, I moved to Johannesburg. And I stayed at the place, but maybe Tabiso know the place, North.
Yes, I know North. Yeah, he knows it too, bro.
Where
everything started there, bro. Pavement robbery. 2002, I was arrested. I tried in France for a few months, but I couldn't learn my lesson there. I go through again, doing bad things, until I went for a big robbery. It's where I was shot.
I mean, I'm trying to put the dots together. I mean, to say this is a guy who was surviving mainly on crime. This is a guy who was then shot and then spent time in prison. You come out of prison. You are on a wheelchair. How do you survive now?
For now, life is difficult. I don't want to lie to you, Tabi. So, because even at school, I did my matric, but I failed it. So I'm struggling, but something will come up. Something will come up. I'm struggling. I'm trying to organize with friends so that they can give me a platform so that they can go to schools and speak to young boys.
And I'm sure the friends have run away. Those that you were with were during the good times.
Yes, but like they say, when days are dark, friends are few. I don't have any friends now. Yeah, now I have friends, those who I meet now on this current situation. But all the friends, I don't even have one.
I'll also tell you about my experience. After I collapsed and became paralyzed, I've lost so many friends. But at the same time, I also met so many new friends, you included.
Yes.
And I value the relationships that I started when I was paralyzed, because those are the people who supported me throughout the difficulties that I was facing. But just a quick question to you. Have you ever had an opportunity where you met one of your victims, and can you describe how did the conversation go? Did it go to an extent where you could even say, I'm sorry, I was young, I had lost it, something like that?
No, I never met them. Even when I used to go to the court while I'm on a wheelchair, I never met the family of, because on my case, there was murder. You know, then even today, I just feel like I'm owing that family a lot, because they lost a breadwinner, perhaps, a father, a brother, an uncle. Then he was shot because I was one of the gangs. So I never met his family or maybe the victims of.
So as we speak, how's family rallying around you? Do you get a lot of family support?
I honestly speaking, I do have a family, but for now, they are, my brother is the one who's helping me The person who used to support me fully, fully, Thabiso, was my mother. She passed away last year on August. Yeah, and she was the only person I can guarantee with her.
Yeah.
So since 2005.
Mm.
She even knew how to help me with everything. She was the only person
who,
because I'm not staying at home, I'm staying at the place whereby they are taking care of us, they are helping us.
Oh, I see, I see.
Yeah.
Does that help, though?
Yeah, yeah, it does help, it does help.
It
does help, but, you know, there's no other place like home, but I'm okay.
Have you forgiven yourself, Colin?
Long time, bruh. That's why I keep going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't hold into the past for a long time. 14 years on a wheelchair, still complaining, saying, why did it happen to me? No, I can't live like that. I forgave myself long time ago.
Brasol, I mean, somebody like this, you know, what's the ideal way of, because I think Colin is trying to say to us that he wants to be self-sustainable, you know, among other things.
In fact, when I read all his Facebook posts, I thought he was relatively educated because he's highly articulate and he writes very beautifully. Some time ago we hosted Mapule Moloto, who has written a book, and she survives of the revenue generated by her book sales. In fact, perhaps I can commit now to say that once Colin has put together a substantial number of posts that we could develop into a book, we will definitely provide him with that support. And we will also make sure that through social media, we promote his book so that you could be able to get some income.
Absolutely.
The powerful message that came from Mapule was that if you can be employed, employ yourself. Look at all the inner strength and abilities that you possess and make use of those talents to make a living out of them.
Does it make sense, Evra Colin?
Yeah, it does. It does. But the other thing that I would like to do, because it was my plan since 3 years back, but I didn't have a platform. I just wanted to speak to young people at school.
Yeah.
But it's quite difficult. Even if you can look now, the bullying that's happening at school, the killing at school, it might lead them end up in doing crime, these kids, especially the young boys. They are killing each other, stepping each other. Some of them are carrying guns at school. So I think if I could speak to them, maybe something could change.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Just that I need to know right people who can maybe help me to go and speak to children in school.
Okay, yeah. I think Brasol and yourself must make time and speak more about some of these issues. Brasol will definitely help through his organization. But don't go anywhere, please, Colin. We just have to go to news, Brasol. And then when we come back from the news, we'll take the calls on 0861987000. People that want to advise, people that want to participate in this discussion, we do it every last Thursday of the month. Brasol normally gives us an opportunity to interact. And thank you for that, because half the time, these are not issues that we put on the radar. One of these good days, Brasol, I really want you to organize people like Tsepo, you know, your wife. And we you know, it's a huge psychological shift to take care of somebody with disability, particularly if you've not done it before.
It's true.
It takes a huge, because it also changes your life.
It's true.
Because you must adjust to this person who is disabled. So I think we also need to, because they also need support, those kinds of people as well. You know, so I think one of these good days, we really need to speak to those family members who share their experiences, because it also changes your life as well. You begin to appreciate it. I mean, I'm speaking as somebody who had a child with disability, because that's why most fathers, they run away, because it's a big responsibility, you know. And it's also, it's not easy. But I think, you know, that's for another time. It's 10 o'clock now. When we come back, we continue with this discussion. We'll be taking your calls on 0861-987-000. 9 minutes after 10, we still continue with Brasol. It's the last Thursday of the month, so this is what we do every last Thursday of the month. But we've made a commitment that next month, every week, because it's a disability month, we are still in conversation with Colin Rakumakwe, who is talking to us, who is also giving us his own anecdotes in as far as his journey is concerned. We are taking your calls as well, 0861-987-000, 0861-987-000, where there are those that want to participate in this conversation. Brasol, we are back.
Colin, I'll want us to talk about relationships. Before we broke for the news, Thabiso spoke about the challenges of able-bodied people taking care of disabled people. And I have first-hand experience. My wife took care of me. And at one stage, I felt guilty that I had to put her through all of those challenges. I remember one day I even suggested to her that may I be booked in a hospice, because there I will find people who are trained to look after me. You know, remember, when you are in hospital, you have a team of nurses who take care of you. And this team of nurses will do a 12-hour shift from 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
Mm.
Then they knock off, another team comes to take care of you from 7 o'clock in the evening up until 7 o'clock the next morning.
Mm.
Now, that was the kind of support I got from these nurses who were professionally trained to look after me. Then there I was discharged at home, and only my wife had to take care of me 24/7. That's why ultimately I felt guilty that I was a bit too burdensome for her.
Mm.
And she refused. She said, no, we'll work through this.
Mm.
Now, my other experience says, you also have to learn to be loved. Mm. Where you surrender your ego, you surrender your entire life into the hands of this person who is taking care of you. And my experience also tells me that you develop a sixth sense. In fact, in hospital, if a nurse was taking care of me with love, I could feel that.
Mm.
And if the nurse was pissed off with me and she just had to help me because it was her job, I could also feel that without her necessarily complaining.
Mm.
But at the same time, let me say, I was lucky that I had many very good, highly committed nurses who looked after me at Steve Biko and also at the Tshwane Rehabilitation Hospital. Mm. There were challenges here and there. One, because the leave policy is mismanaged in hospitals.
Mm.
As a result, you have nurses being overloaded with extra work. Mm. And sometimes this also results into absenteeism,
mm.
which means the few nurses who are there have to take care of a huge number of patients.
Mm.
But at the same time, there were star nurses that each time they came into the ward, their smiles healed most of us because we knew we were in good hands.
Mm.
Someone was there to help us.
Mm.
So with Colin, even though he's saying his mom was there taking good care of him, there should be new friends that he has met. And I know on Facebook, whenever he posts something, he gets many responses from people saying, "We love your story. There's a lot that we are learning from your story. Keep on sharing this story. Send this message to everyone, especially the young ones."
Yeah.
My sister, my brother, my two brothers-in-law are teachers.
Mm.
And their difficulty right now is that teachers are not allowed to use corporal punishment against the learners. But nowadays, we hear stories of learners coming to school armed and harassing teachers.
Mm.
So that's where someone like Colin will come in to say to them, "Look at me, and I don't want you to take this route."
Mm. Mm. Colin, did you appreciate the love?
From my mother, very much, bruh. When days are dark, I always remember my mom because she was the only person who understands my needs as a disabled person. She knew from one A up to Z how to. She was like a nurse, a professional nurse to me.
Mm.
Yeah,
then you were lucky.
My brother can do some other stuff, but not all of them. My mother can do, she used to do everything. I wasn't staying with her, but during holidays, Christmas times, or maybe Easter's, when I went home, she was the only person who can take care of me.
Okay. Let's go to Colin. Colin, good evening.
Hola, Colin. How's it, bro, Colin?
I'm fine. How are you?
Sharp. This is a difficult one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
No, my sympathy. Yo, I don't know. It's like, you know, what if Colin, sorry, bro, call. If he shot a security guard, the same way he was shot, and that security guard with a wife and family is now in a wheelchair. You know, that guy, he took a choice to work for a rubbish salary to drive other people's money around, and you shoot him. You didn't think about that. Now you are suffering, and you want us to have sympathy for you. I don't know. It's very difficult for me, my bro.
Can I respond, bro?
Yes, please.
No, I'm not looking for any sympathy. I'm just sharing my story to young people so that they don't make the same mistake.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I'm not looking for any sympathy. Don't sympathize.
You were the one who took up the weapon. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. You can't now come and cry.
No, but Colin, he's saying he's not looking for sympathy.
I'm sharing my story.
Colin, the other Colin, the guest, respond, please.
I'm listening.
Yeah. Colin is listening.
Yes, Taviso.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm responding to Colin that I don't need any sympathy. I'm not here for people to sympathize with me. Mm. I'm just sharing my story that maybe it could could reach to young people so that they don't repeat the same mistake that they've made. Mm-hmm. You get
it? I hear that. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks, guys. It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one.
Yeah. No. We all understand. So sympathy is not your thing, right?
No.
Yeah. Basol, sympathy, to what extent does it play a role?
No,
is
in
it
fact,
good to say, don't sympathize with me? I'm taking it on a chin like a man, as Colin is saying.
In fact, sympathy falls within the group of shame.
Yeah.
And basically, that's not what we want.
Yeah.
If I'm walking with my crutches, or I'm struggling up the stairs or down the stairs, I don't want anyone to look at me and say, "Ahashem Brasol, can I help you?"
Mm.
I always do things on my own. In fact, my wife spoke very strongly to me over the weekend. Because this week is the one week in which I fell more than 3 times.
You fell?
I fell down. Mm. Even on Sunday, I subscribed to Sunday papers. They just throw them in the yard.
Mm.
And I've taken a decision, I'm not going to use a crutch any longer.
Mm.
And then I just went, and as I was going down to pick them up, I just went straight down. But what I like, and I said this to her, is that, you know, I'm so used to falling to an extent that I no longer scream. I just go silently down, and then from there...
And you're
from,
a big guy. I'm
yeah, and then from there, I find my way up, you know. But it's because I've decided I'm no longer going to use the crutch again, because for someone who has a condition from which he can recover, there is this fear of falling.
Mm.
And because you fear to fall, you end up not pushing yourself.
Mm.
So I have long overcome my fear, and I fall, I wake up, and my 9-year-old daughter, whenever he hears a loud bang in the house, he says, "Daddy, have you fallen?" Then I say, "No." And then she comes running to see if indeed. I haven't fallen down.
Yeah. What about you, Colin? You know, do you, I know that I'm assuming that even though you are sitting on a wheelchair, you still have to do a bit of exercise. You still have to, I suppose, watch what you eat, so that you don't have difficulties in terms of, you know, when you have to go to the loo, I suppose, and all of those things. I mean, is that a challenge for you as well?
Actually, when I'm on a wheelchair, I can do most of everything when I'm on a wheelchair. It's not difficult than on a bed. When I'm on a bed, I need to get someone to help me.
But do you do exercises of some sort, you know?
Yeah, sometimes just for the strength, but I'm using the electric wheelchair. I don't use the one,
manual
one to push, because I'm a quadriplegic.
Yeah.
But also the danger of being on a wheelchair is that you could develop pressure sores.
Mm.
So every 30 minutes... You need to lift yourself up so that, you know, you get that oxygen, there's a blood flow.
Yeah.
And as a result, then you won't develop pressure sores.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're extremely dangerous.
Yeah,
because once they become worse, you'll be able to see your bone, because this wound will just grow like a cauliflower.
Mm.
So that's the danger of being on a wheelchair. Mm. I was on a wheelchair for seven months, and I know that pain. But I used to say to people when they were inviting me to their events, I used to say to them, to the event organizers, I'm saving you one Tiffany, Tiffany chair because yeah. I'll be bringing my own chair.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the good thing about it is that nobody will take my chair because it's an open space, you know, left for me. So that was one benefit I enjoyed.
So what about humor for you, Colin? Brasol is a humor guy. So some of us don't even blink when we want to share jokes with him. Are you a sensitive type? Do you want people to cut themselves when they share jokes?
No. As long as you are not swearing me, especially with my mom.
Ah, like nobody likes that.
Yeah. No, myself too.
I like jokes, but old lady, don't go anywhere near old lady. Otherwise, Rolohana.
Absolutely.
And I think you are onto something good there about directly sharing your experiences with young people, particularly in schools. And I know that something positive will definitely come out of it. Brasol, to what extent does reaching out help? You know, when people like Colin say, I want to make a contribution, I want to reach out, I want to talk to these young kids. How does it help to a long extent?
In fact, there's moral degeneration in all our schools. In fact, if you were to follow the news, almost every third or fourth week, MEC Panyaza Lesufi, the MEC for Education in Gauteng, will be rushing to another school to go and, you know, put off the fires.
Yeah.
And that's where someone like Colin comes in. Mm. As an intervention mechanism. And I hope there's one conscientious person out there who is listening, who can come up with a sponsorship for Colin to be taken to schools for a start around Gauteng.
Pretoria, right, Colin? Manyora ko Pretoria go.
Where he can go and speak to the youngsters to say, guys, I don't want you to fall into the same trap fell into.
It's a challenge to people of Pretoria. Colin is offering himself to speak to your children in particular. Okay, let's go to Mamelodi. Sylvester, good evening. Sylvester.
Gotan, how are you?
Yes, fine, how are you?
Mr. Gotan, how are you?
Sharp, bro.
All right, man. My brother, I think everything happened for the reason. Chico, Mr. Colin, the world living at things. Sometimes, Mudimunya Kunor wants or Dilosidi, Dira Lagana Gwazona, and Radalena a lot from Gamhoble Langati. It's touching Inali Tutogare, Inali Lutin, Chichel, maybe Gaufat or not to a Moyati.
Good stuff.
So, I think, we're that challenge in this country. They're waiting on the shortcuts. They don't want to wait for their time to come, so they just want to get shortcuts and then life goes on. Tomorrow they are shining, driving the big cars and 1, 2, 3. So I think I wish that also can push to Horafet Arata Buga and everything. Many people can learn from it.
Okay, my bro. Thank you very much. Let's squeeze in the last one. Nicholas in Soweto. Good evening.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
imakacine nitolo angene ekolweni nasemajele akangene emajele la la emajuvenile kulaba fana laba abancanyana abatshele nawe ngiyazama ningeni mphakamini nimnikezeni support please.
Okay, my bro. Nicholas, thank you very much. It sounds like he was with you, was Kelara
calling.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because I used to go to school in Dobsonville, PJC Milan.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Colin, thanks, my bro. You've got a good friend in Brasol. Brasol will hold your hand. We hope people are listening in Pretoria, in particular, people whom you want to speak to their children. Hopefully, they will come out and support you. We'll leave their details. It's up Brasol, and maybe they can contact him. How do they contact you on Facebook? Because you are big on Facebook as well.
Okay, on Facebook, I'm Colin Colenzo Rakumako.
Okay, Colin Colenzo Rakumako.
Yes.
Okay, my bro.
Before, are you listening, Mr.
Yes, sir.
Botan?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, actually, I was hoping that you are the person who can contact me with Panyaza, the guy you were talking about, MEC of Education.
Okay.
Mr. Panyaza Lesof, yes. The
Housing
MEC, yeah, he's the guy.
Look,
I would like to meet.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I can't guarantee you that he will meet you. Politicians are very fickle. But what we can do is even Saul, so it's his colleague. Even we can send him a message with your contact details, and hope that he will call you back. We'll explain to him what you want to do in schools. Hopefully, he will come back to you. But hey, politicians, I don't trust them.
No, what I can commit doing is that we will develop a concept proposal with Colin, so that when he goes to the political principals, he goes to corporates, he could be able to give them a costed business proposal so that they can buy into it.
Good stuff. So there are two options, but I'll speak to Mutabi there to send him an SMS to explain that Colin wants to do 1, 2, 3 and so on and so forth. And then we'll take it from there.
Okay. And thank you so much. We are on Facebook as Brand Hill Africa Foundation NPC. Please follow us. And I'm also there as Saul Khumotso Mulubi. Our number is 074-511-4119.
Thank you. As always, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. I'm excited that at least next month we'll see you 4 times.
Okay, thank you so much, my brother. See you next week.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.